Let me ask you, have you ever been just incredibly thirsty? Like you were desperate for a drink. Now that's kind of what David's painting the picture of in this 63rd Psalm as he begins calling out for God and saying, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." You know, David is actually in the wilderness and he is being chased by his enemies, and so he probably needs a lot. But what he calls out for and what he knows that he needs most and desires most is God. You know, because God really is the living water. He's what we're really desperate for. And that is the only thing that really quenches our thirst. You know, the Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And I think for David, he is one that he's thirsty for God, but he's thirsty for God because he's tasted what God has to give before. And we see that as that 63rd Psalm continues, and as he says what he desires of God and his joys in God and how he praises God and his satisfaction and trust in God. He says, "Because your love is better than life, and I will praise you as long as I live. You are my help. My soul clings to you, and your right hand upholds me." So David is thirsty for God because he knows God. But I think there are people who are thirsty for God, and yet they don't really even know God. And they don't know what they're thirsty for. All they know is there's something missing. There's something that's not right. And so they're thirsty. And they may try lots of things trying to see what will quench them, what will fill that emptiness in them. But God is the only thing that fills it. I had the privilege of visiting with a gentleman. It's been a while back. But he had wanted to come in and talk about God. And as soon as we sat down, he said, "Okay, I just don't get it. I don't get how people can believe in God." And he said, "I've heard the stories." He said, "I was even raised in a Methodist church." But he said, "I just don't get how people can believe. And yet, I want to believe so much." And so I told him up front, I said, "You know, I'm not going to try to convince you. I wouldn't be able to. You know, all I can do is I can tell you what I've experienced in my life. I can tell you how I've seen God and what He's done. But that's something you have to make a decision on your own as to whether you will believe God. You know, that's not something that someone can sell you on or convince you of. You know, it's not something that you can see your parents' faith or your spouse's faith and say, I'll just hook on to what they have. It's something that you have to make your own decision about and decide whether you're going to believe and whether you're going to accept what God is giving you." And he, over and over he'd say, I just don't see it. And I finally said, "That's the point. You know, that's the point of faith. You know, faith, you don't see it. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, you know, that faith is being, you know, what we're sure of and what we hope for. But it's certain of what we do not see." We don't see it. And that's why it's faith. If you could see it, it wouldn't take any faith. But he had such a desire and wanted to know, and yet he just couldn't see it. And he said, "The one thing that I do see is," he said, "I see other people." And he said, "I can see in my wife, and I can see in other people that they have something that I do not have. And I want that. I want it. I want it." You know, that "it" that he kept talking about is a personal relationship with God. And without it, none of us are complete. You know, it's this underlying desire that is so deep that we're missing if we don't have a relationship with God. We may not be able to describe it or explain it, but we know that something is missing. And it's sometimes been said that when we were created, God gave us a heart, but it had a God-shaped hole in that heart that only God could fulfill. And without God in our heart, then we can't live our purpose. We can't live our lives the way we really need to. And so we're missing out on that personal relationship with God that makes us complete. And God knows everything there is about us. The 139th Psalm is this beautiful psalm that just lists all these things that God knows about us, that He has searched us and He knows us. He knows when we sit and when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He discerns our going out and our lying down. And before a word is on our tongue, He knows it. You know, He knew us before we were knit in our mother's womb. And He knew us, you know, before anything happened. God knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet what God wants is for us to know Him. What He would really like is for us to be able to turn to Him and say, "Oh God, You are my God." Now, there may be some of you that are here today that you feel kind of like that gentleman, that you know you want something and you think it's God, but you're not quite sure how to get there. You know, and you want that peace that's beyond understanding. You want to feel that powerful love. You want what you see that other people seem to have. And let me tell you up front, God wants you to have it. He's standing with His arms wide open saying, "I'll gladly give it to you." But you're struggling with, how do I get that personal relationship? How do I have a personal relationship with the Lord God Almighty? And actually, it's pretty simple. You know, it's the same way that you would have a personal relationship with anyone else. If there was anyone else in here that you decided, "I want to have a personal relationship with that person," then what it takes is spending time with them. It means going over and talking to them and getting to know them and sharing about yourself and learning about them and just spending life together. And it's the same thing with God. It's taking time to have prayer time where you're just opening yourself up to God and telling Him things. He already knows it anyway, but the one that changes is you when you do open up and share with God. And asking God to reveal Himself to you and taking time to read Scripture and to know more about God's character and spending time with others who know the Lord, spending time worshiping, spending time talking to others who have a close relationship with the Lord and understanding, you know, what God has done in their lives. And when you do that, you grow in your personal relationship with God. And I'll just go ahead and tell you up front, just because we know God doesn't mean that life goes perfectly, that we never ever have any troubles anymore, because there will still be difficulties. But the difference is that when you know God and when you have a personal relationship with God, it changes everything. It changes how you look at life. It changes how you experience life. You can go through the same difficulties, but it's not the same. You know, you might lose your job or have financial troubles, but yet you know that God provides. You might lose someone who is very dear to you, but yet you know if they knew the Lord that you'll see them again, and you know that God will help you through this time. You might be dealing with illness, and yet, you know that the one who holds the future is the same one that's holding you. And you know it's going to be okay, because God is with you. It makes all the difference. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to hear people's story. And we just sang, "This is my story, this is my song." I love hearing people's story of how they know God. and what God has done in their lives, because God never ceases to amaze me with all the things that He does in touching all of our lives. I have a friend, Reverend Shiv N., and we served as pastors at First Church Carrollton together. He is a remarkable man. He was from Cambodia, and his story is just amazing. And I'm not going to share it today, but someday I want to tell you about his story. But I wanted to share with you about a time when we had gone to Cambodia. And there were actually six of us that had gone over there. We were going to check on a church that Chiv had planted about 9 months before, and to kind of work with that village that the church was in. And we were going to have a water well dug and to help them in some other ways. And Chip, when we were going over there, had heard about this woman that he said, I want to go by and meet this woman. He said she has a unique business, and we wanted to check out to see if the business that she had might be something that might be helpful for the village that we were working with. Now, I'll tell you, we called this lady, our name for her was the pig poop lady. And I don't mean to be rude, you know, that was just how we knew her, was the pig poop lady. See, she owned pigs and raised pigs, but she also had found a way to use their poop to make electricity so that she had electricity in her house and in her barn. And so we just called her the pig poop lady. And she was a fascinating lady. And since I'm an engineer, I was just fascinated with all that she had set up and how their process worked. I didn't want to get too deep into it, but it was interesting. But we had the privilege of having dinner with her precious family and hearing this sweet woman's testimony. And it was just amazing. What she shared with us is that she had been Buddhist, just like everybody else around her. And she was very poor, and her children were sick. And so she would go to the Buddhist monks and ask them to pray for her and what she could do. And what they told her was that her ancestors had cursed her, so that she needed to bring money in order for her children not to die. And so every time she got any money, she would take it to the Buddhist monks. And this is a woman that's desperate to save her children. She had a relative that ended up coming to the United States and became a Christian, and came back to visit Cambodia and shared the gospel with her and told her about Jesus Christ. And so she began praying to Jesus and trusting Jesus. And guess what? Her children started getting better. And she started being able to provide a little better. And slowly she was able to have a home and to build a business. And her life turned around, because she trusted Jesus and knew Him. And she said she finally realized that with Buddha, she was always giving and never receiving. And yet with Jesus, she was praying and being blessed abundantly. And that it changed her life so much. And I loved her story, but it didn't end there. She went on to tell us and that when she was a child, she was the one selected in the family to provide and prepare all the food. Now, I would have been in trouble if that had been my family. But apparently in Cambodia, depending on who you are, you know, what number child you are and so forth, you're each given certain responsibilities. And those are your responsibilities, and it stays that way. And so she was never given the opportunity to go to school. So she never learned to read. And yet she came to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she was thirsty for knowing God. She wanted desperately to know more than just what they had told her when she accepted Christ as her Savior. She wanted to learn more, and they had given her a Bible. But she couldn't read the Bible. You know, all she could do was hold this Bible You know, and she knew inside were all these things that talked about God. But can you imagine not being able to read? And so she was just desperate, and she would hold that Bible and she would cry out to God. And it was like having a treasure that you couldn't open. And she would cry and she would pray and she would pray and she would pray. Because she wanted to be able to read. And God answered her prayer. Miraculously, she was able to read. She didn't go back to school. No one sat down and taught her to read. She just, all of a sudden, was able to read and to have incredible understanding about what was in the Bible. You know, isn't God good? You know, the same God that can open the eyes of the blind man can help this woman to be able to read His Word. And I just think it's just this perfect example of God saying, you know, I want a personal relationship with you so much that I will do whatever I can to help you get there. And in her case, what she needed was to be able to read the Bible, and God gave that to her. Now, I think the greatest thing we could ever have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the thing that upholds everything else and makes such a difference. It's our foundation. And if we don't have it, we're missing something. But if we do have it, it impacts our life forever. When I was 7 years old, my mamaw was 4 years old, 4 years younger than I am right now. And she had a stroke. She was paralyzed on her right side and was never able to speak. From that point on, she was in a wheelchair. And the only thing that she could do was wave her left arm and say, "Dad, Dad." That was it. And I remember one day that my mother and I walked into her room at the nursing home. And we came in, and she looked different. She just kind of had this beautiful glow about her. And she started signaling for us to sit down on the bed. "Dat, dat, dat." And she wanted us to sit down on the bed and for us to look straight at her. And she took just a moment, kind of composed herself. And then she began to sing in the most clear voice ever. And she sang, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own." As far as I know, she never sang any other song. She never spoke any other words. But that song was her song, because she knew that God was with her. She knew no matter what she had been through, that God was there with her. And actually, it wasn't until last night, and I realized He walks with me and He talks with me. You know, two things that she couldn't do on her own, and yet God was doing it with her. And by singing that song, it was almost like she was saying, "Oh God, You are still my God." So what about you? Is God your God? Is He your Lord and Savior? Is He the one that you thirst after? That you have this deepest desire that you can't do it without Him? And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's so simple. It's just a matter of believing and stating that belief. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's simple. And then you can go on from there, experiencing God and growing in God and growing in a closer relationship with the Lord. You know, what God wants for each and every one of us is for us to be able to say, oh God, You are my God, and to really believe it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do just pray for each and every one that's here today, that for all of us, that would be what we say to You. Lord, help us to recognize that desire and not to just brush it aside and think that there are other things that we can do that will fill that emptiness, because it is an emptiness that would stay with us forever if we don't have You. And it's so simple to be in a relationship with You. So, Lord, I pray, You know each and every heart that's here, and You know where every individual is. And so if there is one that is needing You, help them to be willing to say, Lord, I want You. I want You in my life. And for those of us that have known You for a long time, Lord, forgive us for the times that we've taken You for granted, that we've kind of just acted like a relationship with You is no big deal, but it is. It makes all the difference. And help us to live every moment of our lives focused on You and including You in our lives, so that we can truly be the people You've called us to be. Lord, we give it all to You in all of Your glory, because we know how very great You are. So we give it all to You.